Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here to worship together with you at Great Lakes. Seems like it's been quite a while since we were here for a Sunday morning. If I remember right, we were planning to be here. It's almost 3 years ago in April we were planning to be here and sharing your weekend meetings, but they were canceled because of ice and snow. We were here, but did not gather to worship. So it's good to be here again, see some faces that are familiar, and look forward to spending the day with you today. Bring you greetings from the Susquehanna Valley congregation and invite you there as you can to worship with us there in central Pennsylvania. You can open your Bibles this morning for a message to Matthew chapter 15. I've titled the message this morning, Missing Heaven by 18 Inches. It's maybe a little bit of a play on words, a little bit of a title to catch your attention, but how is it possible, or is it possible, to miss heaven by 18 inches? That's the approximate distance between your head and your heart this morning. Is it possible to have a head knowledge of Jesus, his work, what he has done for us, but not make it real in our life, not make it personal to us? Have you ever found yourself in a position where you knew what God wanted you to do, but you were unwilling to do it? You knew what you should do, but you didn't want to do it. Maybe we can sometimes find ourselves with things looking right on the outside. We know what to say, we know how to act, but it's not real, it's not lived out in our daily life, in our heart. Is it possible to be seen by others as a good Christian, but it all be a sham? I believe it is possible. I believe there is times that can happen, and I believe it can be a temptation to us today. Yes, even for the Mennonite Church in 2021. The text verse, the verse where I get this thought from, is in Matthew 15, verse 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. Verse 8, though, says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's what we want to think about a little this morning. The possibility of having this head knowledge, having this knowing what to say, knowing what to and how to say it, saying everything right, but our heart being far from God. I think we all want to live a life with our heart serving God. But let's read Matthew 15. I'm going to read verses 1 through 20 at this time. "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable, And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out through the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. This verse 8 is a quote from Isaiah, as verse 7 implies. If you were to turn to Isaiah, it's Isaiah 29, verse 13. It's almost word for word that Isaiah prophesied this very thing. People drawing nigh with their mouth and honoring God with their lips, but their heart is far away. Is that your experience this morning? Do you know how to say things right, but your heart is far from it? I trust not. I trust we are sincerely following him. But this morning I want to look at a few traits of a person who has a head knowledge without having a real heart change. Someone who can say the right things and maybe even do some of the right things, but their heart is not truly converted. First thing I want to notice from this passage, twisting the scriptures to fit selfish desires. And this is what Jesus challenged these Pharisees with in verses 3 through about verse 6. The Pharisees were excusing caring for their parents by saying that instead they were using those funds that they had should have allocated or given to their parents. They were using those funds to give to the temple. They were saying, it's a little bit of research I did on this passage. It seemed like they were taking their funds that they should have been using to care for their parents and instead giving them, or saying they were giving them, to the temple as a gift. I believe maybe there was even some of that. It said in one place that a person could bless his goods or bless all of his possessions, and in that way could excuse having to care for his parents and still keep those possessions for himself. They were taking the scripture, twisting it to fit their selfish desires. And Jesus called them out for it. He said, this is what you're doing. You transgress the commandment of God by your tradition. You've taken something that God meant for you to do, twisted the scriptures to fit your selfish desires. Someone with a head knowledge is not afraid to wrest or twist the scriptures to fit their agenda. This morning attests that you and I can put to our lives, do I try to reason away the clear teachings of the Word of God? Do I try to take those teachings that are clearly laid out in His Word and reason them away, twist them, make them sound different than what they say? Or can I take God's Word literally, take it, apply it to my life, and live it? Are we willing to ignore direct teachings of the Bible for our own benefit? If so, I believe we are twisting the scriptures to fit our selfish desires. The second trait, a person with a head knowledge, comes from verse 9, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. The Pharisees initiated this conversation with Jesus, started this conversation with Jesus by coming to him and challenging him on how the disciples ignored some of the washings that were a tradition, something they did. The disciples were not correctly observing some of these ritual washings before eating. The Pharisees were very particular about these washings. As it says here in this passage, they were extremely concerned about it when they ate bread, washing their hands properly beforehand. I did a little reading on this, and today In Judaism, there is still very specific washings that need to be done before you eat a meal that contains bread. I don't know why the bread seems to be something that makes it even more of significance. The article I read says, and I quote, "In the hand washings made for eating bread, one takes the vessel in his right hand and pours water in abundance over his left hand. He then takes the vessel in his left hand and pours water in abundance over his right hand. After a person washes their hands, he raises his hands in the air to the height of his chin and says, 'Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us through your commandments and has commanded us concerning the washings of hands.' He can then dry his hands with a towel." The article went on to say that hand washing before eating bread is the most rigid of the laws about washings, and those who willfully neglect its practice make themselves liable to excommunication and bring upon themselves a state of scarcity and are quickly taken out of the world. Sounds like something that is of great importance to them, something that they place a very high priority on. And I believe that's what was happening in this passage. And Jesus' disciples had violated that in one way or another. They were not doing it according to the regulations that these Pharisees wanted them to do it. How does that apply today? Thinking about hand washing, we all know that it's important. It's an important part of hygiene. The last year, we've heard a lot about washing your hands for 20 seconds, being sure you do it right. It helps to slow the spread of the virus. So is Jesus saying that hand washing is not important? I don't believe so. I believe hand washing is important, but rather the issue that Jesus took with the Pharisees, they were making something of good hygiene, a good hygiene habit, into a moral issue. They were taking something that was of a physical benefit, of a health benefit, and turning it into a spiritual or a moral issue, something they seen as something that would not, that became a spiritual issue. They were accusing the disciples of transgressing the commandment of the elders. In verse 2, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" There was strict discipline for those who willfully disregarded this hand-washing commandment. How does this relate to us today? How can we be guilty of this? I believe Jesus taught that obedience to the Bible is important. It's very important. We also need to be careful that we are not making rules, making regulations that are not based on Bible principle, and put them on the same level. Thinking about this impractical expression for us today, we don't always have a specific Bible verse to turn to back up every one of our traditions or practices that we practice today, but I believe they need to be based on Bible principles. For example, I don't know where you could turn in the New Testament to say that we should be wearing a plain suit this morning. But we do have Bible principles, the Bible principle of separation and simplicity, that support and back up us wearing a simple, serviceable suit coat. It's a formal coat and formal way of attiring ourselves that we can feel as though we're coming into God's house dressed and ready for worship. It's not a casual, less than the best, but it's also simple. It also supports the teachings of Scripture in that way. I believe we need Bible principles behind our practices. If not, we can become guilty of teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I believe it's something that we as conservative Mennonites need to be conscious of and be careful that we're not becoming carried away and teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But I will hasten on to say that I'm very satisfied with our conference's application and direction that it gives to practical living. I believe it is based on Bible principle, and I want to do my part to support and uphold it. And let's be slow to judge others that have a slightly different application of Bible teaching. And remember, God requires, wants a people that are following him, that are living out in daily life the teachings of his word. He wants us to put it to practice. He wants us to look at his word, take those teachings and apply it to your life and my life today. The third trait of someone who has a head knowledge, but it's not real in their heart. The heart is the source of defilement if unconverted. And this comes from the end of this passage, verses 18 through 20. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. The unconverted heart will bring forth fruit. It will bring forth what's inside of it. Jesus used this opportunity to show his disciples that washing hands before eating was not as important as being sure that our heart was cleansed, that our heart is washed. The heart is the seat of our emotions, our thoughts, and what's in our heart will come out of it. Notice the first thing on this list are evil thoughts. I believe that's first on the list because it's where it starts. It starts in our hearts. It starts in our minds. The things that we think about, those evil thoughts, will come forth, and they're going to manifest themselves in actions. The murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. It starts with the evil thoughts. It starts in the heart. The heart is the source of defilement if unconverted. The fourth trait of someone who is following their mouth, but their heart is far from him, drawing nigh with their mouth and honoring me with their lips, taken from that text verse. Someone who is not having a heart experience can draw nigh with their mouth and honor with their lips. A lip profession is not enough to prove that someone is a Christian. Sometimes you hear that. Maybe you ask someone you meet in town and you don't know them well, but maybe you have worked with them and meet them from time to time, and you ask them if they're a Christian, and yes, they give a glowing testimony of God and what he's done in their life. But you know a little bit of their actions, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't ring clear. It doesn't ring true. A lip profession is not enough to prove that someone is a Christian. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read a few verses here. Again, teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount that I believe show us that we need more than a lip profession. Verse 1 of Matthew 7, I'm going to read that verse. Judge not that ye be not judged. So maybe we shouldn't look at somebody's life and say your fruits don't line up with what you're doing. But now I want to read verses 15 to 23. And I think these verses show that we can look at what's coming forth from a person's life and make a few conclusions about it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then, why profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some sobering verses that we have here in this passage about those who say that they love Jesus, they love God. A lip profession is not enough to prove that someone is a Christian. Jesus, in these verses, is teaching us we should beware and alert to the hypocrites, the ones who would look right and say the right things, but their heart is not right. Every heart will produce fruit. Every life will have fruit that comes forth from it. And yes, maybe the first time you meet a person, you don't exactly see all of that. But as you interact with people, you learn to know them. You learn to see what they stand for, what their convictions are, what their life looks like. And in verses 21 to 23, Jesus warns us it takes more than a lip profession to be a Christian. It says many will be in this group. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, and Jesus will say, I believe there will be many that will hear those words, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Sobering words for us. And yes, we can say nominal Christianity, the worldly, those that have professed Jesus' name but have not, it's not made a difference in their life, are going to make that up. But maybe we need to bring it closer home. Is it possible that there may be conservative Mennonites that are part of this group? Is it possible that there will be those who say, Lord, Lord, but are not living a life that's bringing forth fruit? What fruit is coming forth from my life? What kind of tree am I? You look at those verses. Do men gather thorns or figs of thistles? What kind of tree are you this morning? Are you producing fruit? Or is your life a thistle bush? Is my life, Christian life, a lip profession, or am I building on the foundation? A few verses, the verses following this in chapter 7, talk about building on the rock. Are we building on that rock? Is our life producing fruits? Or is it an empty shell that is going to crash down when the floods come? I believe it comes back to obedience to God and His Word. It's essential to being a true follower of Jesus. 1 John 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that ye keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. I believe it speaks of a willing following Him. It's not something that's grievous. It's not something that's hard to do. And the last one, we'll spend a little time on the last trait of someone who is following with their lips, but their heart is far away. A divided heart is not a true experience and leads to a head knowledge without a heart experience. Just turn back a page or two to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read here a few verses, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. I said a divided heart is not a true experience. Verse 24 says that's impossible. It says you cannot serve two masters. So this morning, is your heart trying to be divided? It's not possible to follow God partially. It needs to be a wholehearted experience. How often am I tempted with trying to serve two masters? How do you balance the demands of life with serving God, with having a heart that is wanting to do God's will? Again, back over in Matthew 7, it says, "By your fruits you shall know them." I believe we need to inspect the fruit coming from our own lives. I believe we need to think about that and know. Think about it. What is it? It's an indication of what's truly in my heart. Whether our heart is serving God or whether we're hypocritically trying to satisfy God with our mind. No man can serve two masters. So what are some other masters that are trying to get our attention this morning? A few areas that will be vying for our attention, trying to take us away from following God with our whole heart. The first one was mentioned in verse 24, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon, simply, I believe, is the pursuit of money and material gain. It's probably one of the biggest temptations we face today in the world we live in. American lifestyle, the American dream that many around us are chasing after, that are wanting to find and grasping for, to give them fulfillment in life, give them satisfaction in life. The temptation can be there for us to go there as well. Earning money is not wrong. God has commanded us to provide for our families. We need to provide for our families. But I believe when making money and our business pursuits take priority over our spiritual life, we're allowing mammon to be our master. Do you ever find your life too busy for your personal devotions? Do you ever find life too busy for family worship? Some challenges that I face in life. How do you balance the demands of life with worship, with following after God? I know I can grow in this area, prioritizing my time with God, making that first place. Challenge for all of us, I believe, in the life we live today. Let's never allow God to be pushed out of our life because of our business pursuits, because of our drive to succeed in life. Quote from our decrees says, "When devotional life and the family altar are pushed out of his schedule, one is busier than God ever intended him to be." The verse that comes after that in there says, Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are we seeking after this morning? Maybe another area that we can be challenged in this is our commitment to the body of Christ. How committed are you to the body of Christ, to the believers that you interact with from week to week? Are you ready to drop your busy schedule to help a brother in need? Are you willing to let a few of your earthly pursuits go unmet to help out when there's a need? Am I willing to give time out of my schedule to study, to teach for Sunday school, to be able to put time into making the worship service, the gathering together of an inspirational time? What about church attendance, midweek church services? When the challenge is there, or busy schedules, are we willing to lay that aside to come together, to be encouraged and inspired again? I believe it's another way that we can look, and some tests we can put up to our life and say, are we allowing God and his word to have priority in our life? Or are we allowing the pursuits of this world to take our attention off of him? Some of these first verses we read in Matthew 6, talking about treasures. Where are your treasures? In verse 21, it says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is your investments this morning. Where is your retirement fund? Are you laying up treasures here on this earth, or are you laying them up in heaven? And there's much could be said about that, how you go about that, where you invest your energy, where you put your efforts this morning. I trust we're laying up treasures in heaven. Focused on God and on heavenly things so that we can lay up treasures in heaven. What's another area that we can be divided, serving another rather than a heart fully following God? I believe another area that we're challenged with is self. The flesh that is so wants to be satisfied, so wants to be taken care of rather than following God with our whole hearts. Is there a part of my heart that wants what I want? It makes me unwilling to submit to Christ and His church. It's a challenge for each one. I believe it's a daily thing that we're tested in. Are we willing to lay down our life, lay down ourself for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ and His church? I believe today we're maybe tested in this in many, maybe even more ways than we have been, and some have been in the past, but is it possible that we can satisfy our flesh by being part of a church that doesn't ask for much self-denial? There's churches around that don't, but being part of a church that is following God, if we don't need to make a sacrifice to be there? Is being a part of a church that doesn't require any denial of self really a church that is teaching the truth? This morning, there's many churches out there. There's many groups that you could find that allow you to live much the way you want. But Jesus said, if any man come after me, take up his cross and follow me. Luke 14:27, another verse. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We tempted with individualism instead of brotherhood, wanting to have our own way instead of submitting to the brotherhood. An area that I believe our own selfish heart can tempt us to be divided instead of following after God with our whole heart. Pride instead of humility. Selfishness instead of submission. Self-pity instead of thankfulness and blessing. Who are you following this morning? Who is your heart following after? There's many other areas we could look at. Think of self and the satisfaction of satisfying self, seeking after self. Think of the music that can dull our senses, dull our spiritual senses, and lead us into an emotional experience that will lead us into, draw us into sin. There's many different areas of that we can have a selfish, satisfying self, satisfying our own heart and selfish desire instead of living a life that is committed to God. In conclusion, I believe all of us want to reach heaven someday, something that we look forward to, something our lives, we think about a lot. We've made a commitment to Christ and profess that we are Christians today. Is He first place in your life? Is He in your heart? Or is your life a sham? Is it a lip profession? And it's easy. It's a temptation for all of us to cool off in our Christian life, become lukewarm in our desire to follow Him. Still talk right, but not be following Him with our whole hearts. Like these Pharisees, thought they were following God. They thought they were doing what they should, but their heart was far from Him. Let's today be committed to live for Christ that we do not miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between your head and your heart. Let's make it real in our hearts and our lives today. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather into your house, to worship you, look into your word, to spend time in discussing and studying your word. Thank you for your word and the examples of your word that we can look at and be inspired. Pray that you would bless this congregation here. Bless each one of us as we go from here. Help us to have an experience with you that is real, that is in our heart, something that is alive and well, and not just a lip profession. Pray for those today who are maybe living a life of hypocrisy. May your word reach down and touch them and convict them and help them to turn to you and be following you with their whole heart. Just go with us each and keep us in your care today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.